Hey, good morning. Hey, all right, people are awake. It's great to see you all on this Memorial Day weekend. Great to see you all here in person, folks online, folks that are at the cabin watching later online. Glad you're joining us. Here's how we're going to start today. We're going to start with a quick survey. Raise your hand if you agree with this statement. Being a Christian is about following Jesus' example. All right. If that's true, what would that look like in practice? I mean, we'd have to be good like Jesus, right? We'd need to be humble and patient and kind. We'd need to be forgiving. We would need to be courageous like Jesus and truth-telling and just like him. But is that all it is, right? We just, if we're followers of Jesus, we just need to be good, be nice like Jesus. Or is there more? And wait a minute. If we're to follow Jesus' example, does that mean we need to die on a cross? What did Jesus mean when he said, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple"? I'll tell you, when I was a kid, a punk kid, probably in middle school, I vividly remember being in church one Sunday, and the pastor read these words of Jesus. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you." And I remember thinking, bring it on. It didn't help that I was the son of Mennonite immigrants and that I'd heard all their stories, my parents' and grandparents' stories of persecution. Last week, I talked about my father growing up in Poland. My mother's family, actually, Mennonites were invited by Catherine the Great to come into Russia and set up model farms. And so my grandparents were born in a Mennonite colony in Russia. And then the Russian Revolution happened. And it was not very popular to be a landowner or a follower of Jesus. One day there was a knock at the door, and my grandmother went with her father to answer the door. And the Bolsheviks shot him right at the front door. She saw her father die in front of her. My grandmother, my family, has been through persecution, fire. And so for me, punk kid, I just expected that was going to happen in life, right? And when there were no Nazis, there were no Bolsheviks in my story, I kind of felt guilty. I kind of felt like, wait a minute, I'm missing out on my chance to earn my reward, which is totally messed up thinking. It is our job. If we're Christians, what we do is we follow Jesus' example. But it's not about earning. No, it's not really about earning. It's about coming to life. 1 Peter, we are studying through 1 Peter. We're doing this Fire and Life series. We're looking at how Jesus brings us to life, how Jesus uses even the fire, the trouble in this world, to bring us to life. Last week, we talked about how our job, the church's job, is to make Jesus famous, right? Our job is he takes us from darkness into life, and we into his light, and we are witnesses to that. And we do that by proclaiming the praise of Jesus. We do that by abstaining from sinful desires. We do that by living good lives, such good lives that it points pagans, normal people, to Jesus. They see his glory. Today we're going to focus in on that last part, how we live such good lives that it points people to Jesus, or it just shuts them up. "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." Yeah, this is God's plan. This is his idea, right? Jesus himself said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So today, we're unpacking how, in response to to Jesus' incredible love for us, we make him famous by being like him, by following his example. And if you think about it, that's a normal thing that humans do, follow someone else's example to make them famous. Steve Jobs, Oprah, right? Gandhi or MLK. You got Madonna or Tony Robbins or Serena Williams, Jay-Z. These are all people who got more famous by getting other people to copy them, to adopt their thinking, to copy their examples. And these folks have impressive resumes, right? There's lots of accomplishments, the things that you can copy. So what's on Jesus' resume? Lots of us, I think it's normal in the world today for people to think, what did Jesus even really do? I mean, sure, he died on a cross, but, you know, he spent all those years just kind of wandering around the Middle East, you know, being kind to people, loving people, yeah, loving his enemies. Okay, you try it. You try loving your enemies. You can't. Not for long, not for real. Not unless Jesus has brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We talked about this last week, how we need to experience God's love. We need to actually have that go deep in us to transform us so that we can actually do this. So before we get into following Jesus' example and making him famous, let's take a minute to press into his love. Why don't you join me in prayer, and we're going to pray for that to happen today. Lord Jesus, I invite you here. Holy Spirit, come. And this whole thing starts, it is all built on us experiencing you and your incredible love. So Lord, come and do that for us today. Lord, on this long weekend, on this Memorial Day weekend, I pray that we are able to remember what you've given us. You created this beautiful world that we experience. You know, we get out to cabins, we get outside, we enjoy that. You gave us that. It's all because of you. We live in this country because of you. We have the freedom that we do because of you. And Lord, even though this world is messed up, this country is messed up in some ways, you are making it all perfect again. You came and you died on that cross. Your love is so great for us, Jesus. Help us to taste it and see that you are good. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen. Okay, so in response to his great love for us, we make Jesus famous by being like him, by following his example. And today, we're going to look at the what, the how, and the where of following Jesus' example. The what, the how, and the where. So let's start out with, what is Jesus' example? Well, Jesus, he invites us, he calls us to be suffering servants just like him. He calls us into that. Jesus himself, he said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And the Apostle John, he said, this is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And it's not just that we love, we suffer for our friends, for our brothers and sisters. Jesus was clear. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Peter, we're studying 1 Peter. Peter knew about all this business, right? He knew about how we make Jesus famous by suffering, by even going through unjust suffering, just like Jesus did. Peter wrote, for it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, that is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. Oh, this is so good. Jesus, he suffered for us. He himself bore, right? He bore the sins on the cross for us so that he could bring us to life, so we could live for righteousness. And part of living in him is following his example. It is following in his footsteps. It includes being a suffering servant, including suffering unjustly. So, what is Jesus' example for us? Suffering servant, self-sacrificial love, even suffering unjustly. And I will tell you, there are loads of ways that God calls us into that, invites us into that. The Holy Spirit, he calls us into pressing into this in our lives. It could be that God will call you to go overseas, to go to some country where maybe it's an authoritarian government, it could be communist, Muslim rule, to tell people the good news about Jesus. And you could be arrested and put in prison and even executed. Or maybe it's something completely different. Jesus will call you to foster a child, to adopt a child, even a child with special needs. Or maybe God will invite you to give up your time, to volunteer, to serve the poor, the disabled, or to visit the elderly or folks in prison. Maybe God will call you to give away your money, to use your resources to help others. What is God calling us into? Because this is Jesus' example. And I got to say, there's not one size fits all for all of us. We need to listen to God's call for what we're being invited into. You know, maybe because I used to be an attorney, lots of people ask me about their legal disputes. They do. Like, you know, my business partner has stolen all this money from me, or my employer is treating me unfairly, or my ex-husband, oh my goodness, they're trying to take everything. It is so unfair. So what do we do as followers of Jesus? Do we just roll over? Do, you know, they're trying to take the coat, so we give them the shirt, right? We don't demand back what they have taken from us. We don't go to court. Maybe God is calling you. He's inviting you to make him famous by suffering unjustly in a way like that. Or maybe not. The Apostle Paul, that guy suffered. And sometimes it was like he ran towards unjust suffering to point to Jesus. And other times, he asserted his legal rights as a citizen. He appealed to Rome. There's no formula here other than maybe listen and obey. And know that this is part of Jesus' example, that this is the kind of stuff he calls us into, he invites us to do, to be like him. So what is God calling you, calling me into? It's probably something we don't want to do, something hard, something that's going to bring us to life big time. So that's the what. What is Jesus' example. And before, in our pride, we rush in and try to be the martyr, we also need to look at verse 16 here in 1 Peter. So verse 16, we need to unpack this. Once I find verse 16. Okay, there we go. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom to cover up evil. Live as God's slaves. Ah, oh, this is important. The Apostle Paul, he says the same thing in Romans 6. We need to unpack the how. How do we follow Jesus' example? And so first off, we live as free people. If we're followers of Jesus, if we're born again, if Jesus is bringing us to life, we are free, free. We are free from our sin. Yeah. Free. Now, sure, we might have some lingering consequences of our sin, but unless we put it back on ourselves, we are free from guilt and shame and punishment because Jesus took all of that. He nailed it to the cross. And we are free from death. We know what happens when we die, and it is good. We end up with Jesus forever, alive with him. And as we press deeper into this, we experience freedom from things like fear and anxiety and loneliness and so much more. Jesus himself said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." It is so good to be free, set free by Jesus. And this has two big implications when it comes to how we follow Jesus' example. First, we don't have to earn it. Yeah, we may not see it, understand it, live like it's true, but we are already free. So following Jesus' example, doing that, it ain't gonna, we're already free. It's not gonna set us free. And many of us know this, right? As a punk kid, I knew this, right? We are saved by grace alone through faith alone. I would have got that right on the Bible quiz. Totally. But that didn't stop me from wanting, in my pride, wanting to earn it, wanting to prove myself, to endure some suffering so I could prove that I could take it. No. No, I couldn't prove myself. I couldn't be, the standard is perfect. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be like Jesus. And Jesus, he loved me just the way I am. Honestly, our pride, that's one of the worst things about it. It keeps us from experiencing Jesus' unconditional love for us. And besides, I didn't need to prove it. We don't need to earn it. I am free already. And it is responding to that freedom that gets us, motivates us to follow his example. Yeah, we follow Jesus' example in response to him setting us free. We've talked about this, how he has taken us out of darkness and moved us into his wonderful light, how we taste that the Lord is good. So if we're ever lacking motivation, desire, if we're ever at a place where we're like, you know, come on, I'm tired. I'm not sure I'm up for following Jesus' example, right? You know, and you got to suffer and be a servant, and that's just hard. And you know, you got to suffer unjustly, and that's not fair. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. Okay, I know that sounds like a whiny toddler, but I've been there probably more times than I'd care to admit. And I think if you're actually going to follow Jesus, follow his example, you get to that place. And when you do, don't push through. Don't try to just muscle on through. Don't pretend like you actually want to follow Jesus' example. No. Go back to Jesus' love, the love that sets you free. For me, I got my big three. Big three ways that I keep going to experience his love. One is I count my blessings, right? I take the time to think about all the amazing things God has done for me. And two is I go to the Bible. I read about his love in action. It is so good. And then for me, third, I get outside. I take a walk in the woods. I go to the beach, see the sunset. I sense his presence in this amazing creation that he has made for us. For you, I encourage you to find a well-worn path back to Jesus and his love. Yeah, maybe it'll be through journaling or fasting or silence and solitude. It could be through meditation or it could be with laughing and praying with people at small group or serving the poor in the food shelf. And when we have these go-to ways, that shouldn't stop us from shaking it up sometimes, you know, trying something different, letting the Holy Spirit surprise us as we connect with God and his love. Because we need God to remind us of how good it is that we are free, that we are childs of God, that we are so loved by him. And as we do that, naturally, it'll develop gratitude in us. It'll create a motivation to be like the person who loves us so much, Jesus. We will want to follow his example. Okay, back to verse 16. We're not just to live as a free people, we're to live as God's slaves. And this is super important when it comes to following Jesus' example. You know, when we're suffering servants, when we love our enemies, we're not just doing it for them. We're doing it for Jesus because we want to love him back, because we belong to him. And we'll get to that, how to live that out practically in just a minute. First, I want to say, though, some of us bristle at the idea of being God's slave, right? Where's America? Freedom! And for you, I got to remind you of the words of the great theologian and philosopher Bob Dylan. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Who do we serve? Who have we chosen to serve? Whose slaves are we? And I think in our world today, there's two big alternatives to God. One is the great leader, right? Authoritarianism. For nations, you got your Putin and your Xi and your Orban, you know, some great leader that gets to call the shots. Here in America, it could be some great leader, or it could just be a domineering boss or a controlling parent, a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe it's a celebrity, social media, some influencer that's controlling us. Authoritarianism. Or, on the other hand, it could be, no way, nobody's going to tell me what to do, right? I'm my own boss. It's individualism, right? I'm my own boss, and we are slaves. We are controlled by our ever-changing whims and desires, right? By our pursuit of happiness and pleasure and greed and lust and fame and recognition, whatever it is, that controls us. And I got to tell you, authoritarianism and individualism are lousy masters. Way better to be God's slave. So, what does being God's slave have to do with following Jesus' example? I am so glad you asked. Remember, we listen and we obey. We don't just lay down our lives. We don't love our enemies and suffer for them just for them. We do it for Jesus because we love him, because we belong to him. Let's say God, he invites us to be like Jesus and give away our money, like lots of money, to the church or to the poor, and we refuse. We're like, nah, not doing it. You know, I need that money, right? I need it to keep my lifestyle for me, my family. We need it to buy the things to make us happy, to make us look good. Whose slave are we? Or let's say God, he invites us to follow Jesus' example by caring for immigrants, actually like serving immigrants, you know, taking care of refugees, and we refuse because they don't belong in our country. You know, they don't belong here, and my leader, my political party is against immigrants. Whose slave are we? Or let's say God, he invites us to follow Jesus' example by having a baby that we don't want to have and putting that baby up for adoption. But we refuse because it's my body and my choice. And my leaders, my political party is for choice. Whose slave are we? Do you see how whose slave are we affects following Jesus' example? It's because if somebody else or some other thing is our master, we ain't going to follow Jesus' example. No. We're not going to listen and obey. We're not going to make him famous. We're not going to be like him or follow his example. We're not going to suffer unjustly like he did. And if that's where we're at, it's good to be honest about it, to see, like, what is it that we're actually a slave of? Because maybe it's time to trade up to God. Maybe it's time to taste that the Lord is good and pick a new master. Okay, big picture. In response to his great love for us, we make Jesus famous by being like him, by following his example. And part of that is living as a free people and living as God's slaves. Next, where do we do that in our lives, right? In what places in our lives do we follow Jesus' example? Me, as a punk kid, right? When no Nazis or Bolsheviks showed up, I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I need to leave this place where we're all fat, dumb, and happy and go to where the action is for following Jesus. I was so dumb. Peter shows us here that, you know where the action is for following Jesus? Wherever you are. where we follow Jesus' example is exactly the place where we are now. And Peter, he unpacks three like real world examples of where we do this. We do it in our actual society that we're in, we do it in our workplaces, and we do it in our families. So to start out, we do it in our society, right? And so again, Peter is showing us how we make Jesus famous by following his example, by living such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now, to be clear, back when Peter wrote this, the emperor, it was probably Claudius or Nero, they were awful. They were evil. They brutally abused followers of Jesus, like with crosses and lions, right? It was horrible. And yet Peter is saying, submit to that guy. Honor him. Respect him. Love your enemy. Because you're not just doing it for them. You're doing it for Jesus. Because you want to love him back because you belong to him. For us today, we may vehemently disagree with them. We may think they are idiots and fools, but can we honor both Joe Biden and Donald Trump? Friends, this is a huge opportunity for us to make Jesus famous by doing it differently. By actually submitting to our leaders, right? By honoring and respecting them. The way we do our politics, the way we do our social media can point to Jesus in powerful ways. Maybe just baby steps, okay? How about we actually start by praying for both Biden and Trump? And then maybe the next step, we could just walk away. We could turn off the mockers, those that show disrespect. Again, what we need to do is listen and obey. Okay, next. Where do we do this? We do this in our workplaces. And Peter, the same way that he starts with this horrible example of the evil emperor, the evil, you know, the worst leader you can have, he also starts with like the worst workplace you could have. Slaves. In reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Okay, I need to quickly say, Peter, Paul, when he says similar things, they are not endorsing slavery. No, not at all. The Bible, what it is saying is, wherever you are, even if you are trapped in the evil of slavery, because of God's great love for you, make Jesus famous. Follow his example. Suffer like he did, even unjustly. For us today, in our workplaces, we're surrounded by people who are trying to get ahead, right? Who are scratching and clawing and stepping on whoever they can to get ahead. Or we're surrounded by people who just don't care, right? It's like they're actively trying not to submit to the boss, to do as little work as possible. Again, this is a huge opportunity for us to make Jesus famous. What if we actually helped our coworkers? We built them up, we supported them, and we didn't care about taking credit. Or what if we, behind the scenes, went the extra mile? We actually were diligent in our work. We submitted to our bosses and helped make their lives easier. You know, if we did that, people would notice, because they would think we are weirdos, and they would wonder why. And we could tell them, Jesus because he is so good. We could use that to make him famous. Next, we do this in our families. And again, Peter is writing into a place where they have an evil empire, and they have the evils of slavery, and they also have the evils of patriarchy and misogyny. And we're to follow Jesus where we are. We're to follow his example where we are. So Peter writes, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit." Sounds like Jesus. "Which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, her Lord. You are her daughter if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." All right, there is so much in there, and we need to deal with this relatively briefly, okay? But first, husbands. First, I gotta say, husbands, you need to hear what Karen Jobes, she's a biblical scholar, she's an actual expert, what she says about this. In the context of 1 Peter, the weaker vessel is primarily understood as physical weakness relative to men's strength. Therefore, Peter's exhortation indirectly addresses the issue of physical abuse. Husbands, if you are beating your wives, God has an issue with that. You need to get help. However, the immediate context makes it clear that the female is also weaker in the sense of social entitlement and empowerment. Peter teaches that men whose authority runs roughshod over their women, even with society's full approval, will not be heard by God. Guys, do you got that? Do you get that? Our society may be sexist. It may give you power over women. And if you abuse that power, don't expect to be heard by God. Don't expect him to care what you have to say. Put another way, wives, they may submit to their husbands to make Jesus famous, to follow his example. But husbands, we never have the right to demand that or to abuse that. I mean, guys, seriously, look at the pattern here. Evil empire, evil workplace of slavery. Do we want to have evil marriages? No, we don't. And I got to tell you, other places in the Bible, it's clear. Husbands and wives are to mutually submit to each other. We don't have time to unpack that all today, okay? Wives, women, you also need to hear what Karen Jobes says. She says more. When read within the original historical context, these verses become a call to social transformation within the Christian community, allowing it to become an alternative society based on God's redemptive plan. The Christian's willingness to suffer unjustly out of reverence for God in order to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ is a radical break with social expectations of that day, just as it is in our own day. Peter affirms aspects of the social expectations of his day, yet he does so for theological reasons that masterfully subvert traditional social structures. Wives, the reason why you may submit to your husband matters. It matters. Please never, ever submit to your husband because we live in a sexist, misogynistic culture. No.
only ever do that because you've experienced Jesus' love, and he is inviting you to make him famous, to suffer and serve like he did. Again, God's got you. You just need to listen and obey. For all of us, really, in response to Jesus' great love for us, we make him famous by being like him, by following his example as a suffering servant. We need to listen and obey and press into this. I'm going to invite you to do that even more right now. I'm going to invite you to stand up, and we're going to press into ministry time. It's a time where we talk to God about this stuff. We listen to him. And today, I'm going to invite you to listen hard and to obey. So, Holy Spirit, come. Lord Jesus, come. This is a radical call from you, to be like you, to be a suffering servant. And as we've talked about it today, I'm sure it's made some of us uncomfortable. We've talked about things today that probably, for a lot of us, we're like, oh, I don't know if I like that. I don't want to go there. Lord, the only solution for that is your love. So once again, Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to come and flood this room, flood the rooms of all the people listening online with your love. Ah, oh, Jesus, so many times when you've invited me to grow, when you've invited me to come to life, it's like the Holy Spirit has given me this big hug and punched me in the gut. And I think some of us today are feeling a little of that. And so, Lord Jesus, hold us tight. Holy Spirit, come and squeeze us tight with your love. Remind us that you created us and we are good. Remind us that we messed this world up and you are in the process of setting it right. Jesus, you went to that cross, your incredible love, your sacrifice. Remind us of your love. And Lord, from that place of tasting that you are good, help us to respond. Help us to actually make you famous by being like you, Jesus, by following your example. That is your plan. You have invited us to be good like you. And so, God, I ask that you come now. And for each person in this room, each person that hears my voice, they are able to listen to what you are calling them into. There's no formula, there's no one size fits all, but there is some place where you are inviting them to follow your example, to be a suffering servant, to practice self-sacrificial love, even suffering unjustly. Oh, Lord, if we will actually do that, the world will notice. They will notice you. So, Lord, give us what we need to do that, starting with your love. And God, I don't know what that is for each person here, but I know you have something for them. It could be in how we interact with the society of politics. It could be at our workplace. It could be in our families. It could be in so many different places. But God, I know that it is good. Even if it doesn't seem like it at first, that you would ask me to do that, Lord, that's crazy. Oh, it is good to be like Jesus, the Jesus that went to the cross to save us. Come, Lord. Come. I ask, Lord, in your name, in Jesus' name, for powerful change and transformation. Bring us to life. Amen.